Good afternoon, and welcome to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and making us a priority this morning. You know, like always, we have a full house here on ArtSpeak Radio, just full, chock full of very creative people who are doing wonderful things in the community. I want to start off with announcing who our guests are. We've got Patrick Alexander from Charlotte Street Foundation, and Cody Call is here, and they're going to talk about all the information that you need to know about Charlotte Street residencies. We also have Norma Cantu on the program today, and Dana Sawyer, Deb Pettit, and just a full bill of information. So thank you again for tuning in this afternoon. Patrick Alexander is a multidisciplinary artist, programming and studio residency manager at Charlotte Street Foundation, and he's also DJ Fat Sal at Solid's. Why are you laughing? Solid. Oh,
sorry.
It's okay. It's a different audience.
It's a different audience. Sorry.
He's DJ Fat Sal at Solid Fi Sound System, and he's going to discuss the Charlotte Street Studio Residency Program. Along with him is Cody Call, who's a Kansas City-based composer and multimedia artist. And let's hear more information from the fellas. Welcome.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for having us.
You bet.
We love coming on this show. We love KKFI. That's Charlotte Street and me, Fat Sal. Pat Alexander and Cody. So, yeah, we're excited. We're really busy with Charlotte Street right now. We're getting ready for our open studios that we were just talking about with Mark's show, which is fabulous. But it's also a really interesting time. We've got a call that's out for anyone to apply if you're an artist, writer, performer looking for workspace in Kansas City, downtown Kansas City specifically. And there's an application out for callforentry.org. You can then apply, and applications are due May 16th. And these are for a residency that would begin for 1 year of free space, September 2016 through September 2017. And Cody's a current resident, so we thought he knows a lot about this.
Well, and I want to ask you if you would tell our listeners, how long has this residency been?
Well, so the background of this program, it started out as the Urban Culture Project, or UCP, which is about 14 years ago in downtown Kansas City. We had a relationship with different business management companies, property managers, that we were setting up vacant spaces to do temporary art exhibitions, galleries. That quickly grew because of the success of that we were listening to more artists and understanding what their needs were besides this exhibition was actual workspace. And we know Kansas City has an abundance amount of space. And so we started to this is a time when there was nothing going on downtown, no power and light.
Yeah,
this
right.
was ghost town at 5 o'clock. This was our playground. And so it was quickly, let's take over a floor over here. Let's take this old bank and make a gallery, and let's give it space just for artists to work for a year for free.
And it's been very successful because not only are you renovating sort of these, putting new energy in these buildings, but there's such a huge community of creative people here in Kansas City that there's no, I mean, you could fill every building if you wanted.
We could, honestly, yeah. And it would be fabulous to do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm one person. no, but. it is cool, but it is a selective process at this point. But that also brings out a lot of showcases, a lot of quality things. We know that what grows out of this kind of example of this, there are other programs and other residents, other studio spaces that are like kind of a model based off of
sure,
this that have
sure.
grown out of that, so that they can continue to grow that are affordable rent as well.
And Cody, I want to talk about your experience as a resident through the Charlotte Street Foundation, the studio residency. What's that like for you?
It's wonderful to be in the same space with so many brilliant artists. One thing that people might not know is that there are so many very different spaces that are available. I have a small little room with windows facing on the sixth floor that I can just put my laptop up and my studio speakers and have this quiet space that I can focus, but just the doorway, there are writers, there are visual artists that I can collaborate with, that I can gain inspiration from. And it goes all the way up to a large black box space for performers to rehearse in and to meet if need be, large open studio spaces for visual artists. There are a large variety of different ways.
Now, how has it challenged your work? What sort of inspiration have you gained from this?
basically just being around all of these artists with different mindsets, different ways in which they approach their art. I've collaborated a lot with Molly Garrett. We did an exhibition last year for her senior project for KCAI and did a silent film that I scored the music for before that with her. And we're planning on collaborating again and just having that basis because I was educated in the conservatory. And so I have this conservatory backing, and she has this visual academic education, and we collaborate together, and we kind of have these two different views that intersect and complement each other.
Beautiful. You know, and it's something that may not have occurred if you had not been a part of this residency, or am I incorrect?
Of course. Being able to, because her studio is just 10 feet away from mine, and so she has her large space in which she can project and work on her animations. And then she could come just right down the hall and see on what I'm working on for that potential project.
Beautiful. Now, I know, Patrick, you will break down the application process during a session that you're going to
I am. Thank
offer.
You. That's I'm doing outreach this year where we Charlotte Street knows what we're doing, but we know a lot of people. But I do think there's misinterpretation that we're just a visual studio.
Yeah.
And that is definitely a historical part of it. But there is a dance floor, shared dance floor with a Marley floor, with a full stage. There's rooms for rehearsing. There's these recording areas that you could do. So doing outreach this year, one at Paragraph Gallery tomorrow night. That is Charlotte Street's gallery that is focused basically primarily for the studio residency. That's at 21 East 12th Street between Main and Walnut downtown. Mm-hmm. So at 7 o'clock, I will do an info session, PowerPoint, talk more about it. Limited, if there's a certain amount of number, we might run upstairs and go actually look at the studios across the street. We're also going to be at the Black Archives with Glenn North next Tuesday night, looking at outreach into, you know, more performance and the poets that he works with, trying to build that up because that's a newer part of the poet. The writers were added 2 years ago to the residency. So we're constantly growing these things. And then we'll also do one out in Lawrence at the Wonder Fair on May 2nd.
Beautiful. Yeah. Now, what is a little bit of the criteria that you can talk about? What are you looking for?
Well, one thing, I'm not looking for it, I guess is the one thing to know.
Okay.
We bring in jurors. Everything that Charlotte Street does for that. So we have a staff of 4 to 5 people, you know, that are running the programming and everything like that. But so we then administrate these. So we find local curators and artists that we find interesting voices in Kansas City who maybe we want to trust them to make these right decisions. So what they do is these applications that come in, they do a jury by point system. And then we bring them in to another close jury conversation where they get to like vote for it. So you're in, basically maybe one person votes high and one doesn't get you, but you still have that chance to get in. So what we're looking for are contemporary work, I guess, would be the top thing that is probably the most interesting thing Charlotte Street does really promote. You know, the other part would be that's current work. We're not really interested in your whole life work. things that are being made right now, and it's in a conversation. There are a lot of artists that are very much doing cross-disciplinary who are looking for collaborative things. So we do tend to find more of them. Mm-hmm. And they are seeking out that community. This thing is very much about a community-based and just ways that it's going to empower them in their careers. But it does not mean you're a young artist. This could be a mid-career. This could be artists who are moving here to Kansas City. This is a way that they get brought into the arts community. So it's very diverse of what's happening.
And if you would share the website with our listeners.
So we can be found at charlottestreet.org. That's the nonprofit. Then with that, there are links that can go to the application process, which we do all of those through callforentry.org or CAFE, as it's known. Mm-hmm. And then if you wanted more directly about the studio residency, so we have a blog about the current residency. You can see, this is what kind of people are in it. Mm-hmm. So we create a little splash page for each one of them and talk about the program. And so that you can find us on charlottestreetstudios.wordpress.com.
And also, what I have in front of me, the information, the deadline for applications is May 16th.
So May 16th. But yeah. So to do that, you could go on there today and set up a registration, your name. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that you have to push send and put everything in today. Uh-huh. So you can keep repeating and going back to it, which I highly recommend. Don't wait till the 15th right. to start looking at this. So what you're going to do is you're going to upload, if you're a visual artist, you're uploading digital files. Mm-hmm. This is pretty much the realm of where anybody, small gallery to large, nationally, are doing at this format. So that's none of the old-fashioned slides.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So you're doing that. If you're video, you're anymore? Getting YouTube links.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
need to start uploading these things and having a process of that you can link that to it. And then if it's for writing, you would have that. So there's that part of it, and mm-hmm. then there is some questions that we're asking you to fill out. And these are really about your goals, about what it'd be if you're mm-hmm. in here for a year. Mm-hmm. What would this do? And this helps us find mentors for you. This helps us find the right space that Cody was talking about, that they're funky. Mm-hmm. There are different ones like that. And we have different juries every year for this application process. So it's never the same thing. So if you apply 1 year, that means you didn't get it. Reapply the next year, because we mm-hmm. do get those ones who apply a couple times.
And I will say that applications will only be accepted through the call for entry, that link that you mentioned.
Right. Don't come to right. my office.
Don't come to your office.
You'll
DJ
never find
Fat,
it.
DJ Fat Sal, don't want you at the office.
No. We want this part online. And then once we do, so that process, you apply, then we get the jurors to vote on this. They start applying, then they come to town mid-June. We make the decisions. We announce it by July, definitely beginning of July. Then you've got that summer to get ready. September, mid-September, you're moving in. You get your access card. You have 24/7 access to start working. You
Beautiful.
Hit the ground running, and it's basically all that's required of you is 5 hours of volunteer hours to give back. That's helping mm-hmm. us with the gallery, postcards, just helping other artists
sure.
with projects, working the door. And then we have a monthly meetings that you're required to go to that we all meet together. And that's more about professional development.
Beautiful. Now, I want to ask Cody, as a Kansas City-based composer and multimedia artist, has this really sort of shifted your idea of how you worked previously? Are you working differently? What sort of insight did you gain from your residency?
It has allowed me to have this space in which I can devote my art practice, in which, like before, I only had maybe a basement in which to work in, and
yeah.
always whenever like you have your art and when you're working in your own home, it doesn't necessarily lead to as conducive as a work process as what
right.
you would like.
Yeah.
It's going...
Your cat has, you know, very, you know, definite prejudices against, you know, your work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my cat just kind of walked across my painting the other day. But, you know, that's what you get when you work at home. Cody, for your website, what, CodyCall.com?
That's correct.
For more information about mm-hmm. your work and also music?
Yes.
Will it be on there?
I have all of my music on there, all of my videos and collaborations. Upcoming events.
Good. So it's Cody Call. That's CodyKahul.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Any last words from either one of you?
I've got a lot of words, but I will be I'll be minimal. Thank you. I would say the best thing, what's cool about this one, I would know that if you weren't listening to Mark's show before Midday Medley. So this is a great way to celebrate and see this, if this is the right fit, is come down to Open Studios next Friday and Saturday mm-hmm. night. That's where you have an opportunity to meet these artists, have a conversation with them, see if it's the right fit for you, see if you know it's the right way that you want to spend a year mm-hmm. working with other artists. So that's down at 1100 Walnut on the 6th floor. It's free. Free parking, and the performances will be happening. You can meet Cody, see his pieces.
Yeah. And check out the spaces.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes they're tricky spaces because they are given donated spaces that were mm-hmm. vacant in corporate mm-hmm. buildings. So yeah. we can't, like, have a kiln. We can't do big sculpture. But what works if you are doing that is maybe it's a second studio. Or, like, mm-hmm. so you're working on the drawing
sure.
part. Or maybe you're a collective working together. It's like a seed place to start this project. Like Archive Collective or things like that. Music groups, dance groups that you're thinking about starting up. But you don't have a place to rehearse.
This is
a place that you could begin that process.
Excellent. And Cody, final words?
Oh, just that it's a wonderful opportunity for most artists in the Kansas City area.
And the collaborations, I mean, that's real. I mean, that's really a beautiful thing.
I mean, I could
go
a whole show about the wings, the groups that have come out of this kind of thing, like Quixotic.
Well,
like,
all I have to do is just
call
back.
Me up and, you know, we'll chat.
Very good. Thank you guys for coming on the show, and good luck to you. We'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. Welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, host and producer, and thank you so much for tuning in with us this afternoon. Next up, we have Norma Cantu, who is the professor of Latino Studies in English at UMKC. She received her PhD in English from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and has taught at Texas A&M, the University of California, Santa Barbara, and the University of Texas, San Antonio. Cantu is also Professor Emerita at the University of Texas, San Antonio. She is the founder and director of the Society for the Study of Gloria Anzaldúa, and co-founder of the group of Latino poets, Canto Mundo, as well as a member of the Macondo Writers Workshop. As editor of a book series, Rio Grande, Rio Bravo, Borderlands, Culture and Tradition at Texas A&M University Press and Literatures of the Americas, she promotes the publication of research on borderlands culture. Welcome, my friend.
Hi, Maria.
Very good to see you again. It's been, I think, a couple of years since you've been on air with me.
I think I had just moved here, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got so much to talk about. Let's start off with what's happening first this weekend, a symposium?
Yes, we have a symposium on Friday, but actually it's preceded by an event at the Millennial Girls Library on Thursday evening at 5:30. And that is to recognize and honor the donation of the Zamora Archives. Julian Zamora was the first Chicano sociologist in the country, and he worked all his career, well, most of it, at Notre Dame University, and his daughter has donated to our special collections, his archives, so it is an amazing feat. And that's the kickoff. And then on Friday, starting at 8:30 with a little breakfast of pan dulce, we will have a symposium featuring our undergraduate students who have been doing research here in the community, looking at Latino issues in both the social sciences and the arts.
Beautiful.
I'm particularly excited of the students who are doing the survey of traditional culture. And so they have interviewed women, because it is focused on Latinas, in the community, who do things like sew the dresses for the quinceañeras, or who are making tamales the way they used to make them in Michoacán, things you don't usually find in restaurants.
And for our listeners who aren't familiar with quinceañeras.
The quinceañera is a birthday party, but it happens at age 15. It's an initiation ritual, if you will, that signals the shift from childhood to adulthood for young women in Latino communities. And Kansas City has a lot of them. I was just at a church this morning doing an interview with a woman whose daughter had the quinceañera in December, and she was telling me they have 3 to 4 every week just in that one church. So if you multiply it by all the different Catholic churches, and actually some of them even happen in non-Catholic churches as well, a lot of young women turning 15, and they are celebrating it.
Yeah. And at this point, I do want to mention to our listeners that you were a part of a film series about quinceañeras.
Well, it's a little more than just the quinceañera. I think you're referring to the Las Martas video. But I have been working on quinceañeras for about 20 years now. I have a lot of interviews and a lot of material that I've gathered, and most of it is going to be deposited at the Library of Congress in the archives of the American Folklife Center, including the work that I'm doing here with my students. So that's going to be featured on Friday starting at 9. And then we have a lunch that is offered, and the workshop or the symposium concludes at 3:00 with a book presentation. Marta Sanchez, an artist, a printmaker from Philadelphia, will be here, and we will be presenting our book. She and I collaborated on a book. I'm also a poet.
Yes.
And so I wrote the poetry, and she did the images, and I knew nothing about printmaking when I embarked on that collaboration, but it was fascinating.
I bet it was. And the title is Transcendental Train Yards, My Poetry with Martha Sanchez.
Right.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that comes out, that's through Wings Press.
Yes.
And so Will the book be available?
Yes, it will. We are selling it. Wings Press is a small independent publisher in San Antonio, and they actually, the book was nominated for a prize. I just got back from San Antonio from the Institute of Texan Letters that I'm a member of, and that was really exciting to see it recognized. Originally, it was not a book. Mm-hmm. It was a suite of 10 prints in a handmade boxed set that was pretty popular, but it wasn't reaching our community the way we had hoped. Mm-hmm. As you know, trains are very important for Latinos. Initially, a lot of the people, for example, that settled here in Kansas City came to work with the railroad. And then over the years, it has become a symbol for both mobility and hope, but also tragedy. In most recent years, there's a train named La Bestia that is what the beast that a lot of Latinos trying to come into this country without papers will use. And as a consequence, many die or lose limbs. So we're trying to approach that theme or topic of the train, but from a more almost esoteric angle in looking at it with the poetry and looking at it with images that connote other aspects of that.
That sounds beautiful, just beautiful. So have you ever done a collaboration like this before?
No, I've never done it. Marta and I did a few kind of trial runs before, a children's image that she entered into. The Philadelphia Arts Alliance had a request for children images, and she did, and I wrote a poem for it. Silence is Golden is the title of that poem, and it was such a success that we then decided to go ahead and embark on it. It took 7 years to produce the suite.
Wow. That's amazing. Very good. And do you have other maybe collaborations in mind after seeing the success
of
this?
Well, I do collaborate a lot with writers because I edit work, and I have several things that I've done. One of the most recent is a book called Barrio Dreams that Rita Urquijo Ruiz and I collaborated on. It's an edited volume of 5 plays by a playwright in Arizona, Silviana Wood. And so that is a different kind of collaboration. It's creative in a different way than when Marta and I did this other thing. And I've also edited a book on another artist, Liliana Wilson. She's a Chilean-American artist who came because of the Pinochet dictatorship and has been here for many years. And that book has been very successful. It's called Ofrenda, Liliana Wilson's Art of Dissidence and Dreams. And now she and I are talking about an alphabet book, which I've never done. So we'll see how that works.
You know, very exciting work. You're always so busy. You have so much energy, you know.
I am very busy.
Yeah.
I don't know about the energy, but I am busy.
Yeah. And then also I should say next month.
Yes.
You've got something coming up.
Yes, we are super excited at the Writer's Circle, and that is the visit of the U.S. Poet Laureate, Juan Felipe Herrera, who actually just got appointed for a second term.
Yeah.
Doesn't always happen, so we are thrilled.
We are thrilled. You know, given his history and his background and all, I mean, it's just a tremendous honor.
Right. And I've known Juan Felipe for many, many years. Mm-hmm. His work in California has been astounding as a community activist, but also as a poet. I think he has more than 15 books. And the poetry has always kind of led and opened the path for the community activism. And so in this case, as Poet Laureate, you get to have a project. And so his is called Casa de Colores, a house of many colors. And in preparation for his visit, the Writer's Circle is hosting workshops. I just did one this last Sunday and did one in March as well, and we have another one coming up in May where community members can come and create poetry that then gets put up in the website. The idea that Juan Felipe has is to have this gigantic, humongous poem that represents all of us, all the different colors.
Rightly so. Can you share the website with our listeners?
The Writer's Circle. If you just kind of Google the Writer's Circle, get into it and you'll have it. The one on, I think it's May 15th at 2 p.m. And the topic is going to be home. So we will have a panel of immigrants speaking around mm-hmm. the topic of home, and then a writing workshop where we actually produce poems wow. about home and beautiful. Then upload to the website, the Library of Congress website for his project.
That's beautiful. And then he'll be here in town.
May 27th yeah. at the yeah. Writer's Circle. No, I'm sorry, at the Public Library.
And that's the Central Library at 14 West 10th Street. And that's Friday, May 27th, 6 to 7:30 p.m.
That's correct. Yeah. And he's also conducting a workshop for a select group. You have to sign mm-hmm. up ahead of time mm-hmm. at Diastole.
Yeah. And to reserve your seat, the kclibrary.org website is
right. You go on and then it asks you to put your name and all of that uh-huh. and how you heard about it. So please say you mm-hmm. heard about it on the radio yeah. and this show. And it is a way to just keep the numbers because we're expecting a lot of people to come out. And please spread the word. We want children. We want yeah. teens, everyone, because the poetry is so accessible. Juan Felipe was a farm worker and has a lot of work about work and just common folk.
Yeah. And, you know, I recently saw that he was at Split This Rock in D.C., and our friend Miguel Morales, who's the president of the Latino Writers Collective, was there. And being a migrant farm worker himself, you know, it's just a thrill, you know, to be able to meet this man and see what he's doing for the community, for, you know, the Latino mm-hmm. community. So it's been a real honor, you know.
Yeah. I heard him at AWP, and like uh-huh. I said, I've known yeah. him for a number yeah. of years. So I said, we're looking forward to your visit to Kansas City. And he said, well, I'm looking forward to my visit. And so he's really excited about coming out here. And I do hope that we show him a real Kansas City welcome oh, yeah. and go out.
Yeah. yeah. Now, and that's just, I just covered April and May, you know, with Norma Cantu. And I know there's much
yes.
more.
There's a Congress in Spain on Chicano literature uh-huh. that I'm attending. I have other books that have just come out. One is an anthology of Texas women's writing, and that has 40 authors and 8 wow. artists in wow. the book. And so I've been doing some of that work as well. And then I have projects that are ongoing with my students here mm-hmm. in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're able to maybe just kind of get away and travel a little bit, right?
Well, usually not when so I much. Travel, it's work. yeah, yeah, I was joking yeah. with someone that I haven't really had a vacation travel because when I travel, I'm more than anything, working. I see the hotel and then yeah. where we go and do the reading. I was just in Milwaukee doing a presentation at the University of mm-hmm. Wisconsin in Milwaukee, and it was very nice to see the community there because they did come out and I got a little bit of what it's like to live there. I had lived in the Midwest before. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But every spot is different. Yeah, Kansas yeah. City is so different from yeah. Lincoln, and Milwaukee is different from Kansas City.
But, you know, when you came to Kansas City from Texas, you know, you really boosted the Latino studies at UMKC. So you've done so much, you know, here in Kansas City. So we're very fortunate to have had you.
I think it's been a really good place to be and yeah. to help grow.
Yeah.
I'm only the catalyst. I allow students and other faculty to come in and work with us. And we have moved forward from where it was 3 years ago. Now we have a minor. We have over 35 students wow. who have signed up to minor in Latino studies. When there was nothing, we didn't have the classes, we didn't have a program of study. And so it really has transformed, I think, the environment at the university for Latino and Latina students. We just had Denise Froman here, a spoken word mm-hmm. artist, last week. She's Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. And so there's always something happening that we're pushing. We have a monthly lunch with our students and communities invited. So we will often have people who are alums of UMKC drop by for lunch.
See, and that's what I love about you. You're such a connector. Not only, you know, are you an editor and a writer and a professor. I mean, you are a connector. You bring people together in a way that community should, you know. And I know your students adore you.
Oh.
I yes, they pulled me aside. We love her. So
you're embarrassing.
Well, do you have any final words that you want to share with our audience?
Oh, I just hope everyone comes out for the Friday symposium. Maybe not the whole day, but at least sessions. We have the morning session with the social science research on education and health practices. And then at 10:30, we start the one on the traditional arts. And then there's a poster session right after lunch. And then the book, the Transcendental Train Yard presentation at 3 o'clock. So just invite everyone to come out.
And more information at the UMKC website?
Yes, the Miller Nichols Library website has more details, or there is a phone number. It's our Latino Studies number.
Yeah, 816-235-5854.
That's right.
And Norma will personally take your call.
Right. Yes.
if she's not too busy. Well, thank you, my friend. Thank you so much for coming back to the show, and we'll have you back soon. Yes?
Thank you, and thank you for all the work you do for community.
You're very welcome. This is great. Thanks so much. We'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, host and producer, and we just have some wonderful guests to talk with on the second half of the program. From the Kansas City Art Institute, I'll be talking with Special Events Director Lauren Weinhold and Communications Director Dana Sawyer. They're going to tell us about Art Pop, which is happening next month. So welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
Us.
You That's bet.
Nice.
Art Pop. Now, we never did that when I was in art school there, but it is a fun, progressive campus party that takes guests via trolley into the studios to see student work and meet the artists, designers, and faculty. So, wow, what a great idea.
We wanted to offer the general public an opportunity to see our students at work and visit them in their studios that are going to be transformed into pop-up shops.
Fine.
So the student artwork will be on exhibition and for sale. And so it's a great way for the general public to get to know more about the Art Institute and also support these emerging artists.
Yeah, that's terrific. What a great idea. So now, what is the date on this?
It will be Thursday, May 5th. And this event precedes the end of semester show. We do two of those a year. The end of semester show runs May 6th, 7th, and 8th, but this ticketed event is an exclusive opportunity for folks who want to get a preview of the artwork to come out the night before.
You know, that, you know, it's really terrific because on at the end of the semester art exhibit, you get a lot of people, and so having this kind of a sneak preview is really smart, isn't it?
Yeah. We hope so, and what we've tried to do with this event is elevate the conversation about our students. We want the public to begin to see our students as professional artists, which they are. And we also hope to dispel some myths about collecting art. I think there's a misconception that in order to collect art, you have to have the financial means to do it, and you have to know what you're talking about. And we want our guests at this event to simply buy work that they love.
Yeah.
And that's how you start an art collection. And so we want to make art accessible to people.
Yeah.
And we want to introduce them to the young artists who are producing the next collectible art.
And Dana, where will all the departments take part in this?
All of the departments are taking part in this event. And it's so ceramics, painting, illustration, graphic design, animation, film, foundation, photography, sculpture, printmaking, fiber, and even art history and creative writing will have work for sale, and people will be able to go into these studios and meet the faculty and the students. And I just want to say the great thing about this event is all the money from the ticket sales goes to benefit student scholarships. And that is really the basis for why we're having this event.
And if you would share with us the website for our listeners to find out more details.
Sure. It's kcai.edu. And it's right there on the homepage if you go to that. And you can purchase tickets there.
And I will say, this has me all excited. Savory appetizers and festive cocktails will be sprinkled throughout throughout the evening, all art pop guests will cap off the evening with dinner, right?
Yes, absolutely. Wow. Dinner and entertainment. We are excited to share that Kansas City favorites Molly Hammer and Mark Lowry and friends will be performing during dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because it is a progressive party, we want there to be food and libations around campus so folks can not only enjoy the visual arts, but they can utilize their other sensory capabilities and enjoy great food and hopefully great fun.
Now, will the dinner take place in Epperson?
It will.
That's a beautiful, beautiful auditorium.
Yeah. Yeah. We want the party to be, we've designed it to be a progressive party. So a lot of events have a very formal timeline and structure to them. And on May 5th, we're hoping that the weather will be much like it is today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that folks will just enjoy strolling around campus, visiting studios, pop in for some dinner and enjoy some music, and then go back out and catch the rest of the studios.
Beautiful. Again, I'm talking with Special Events Director Lauren Weinhold and Communications Director Dana Sawyer, talking about Art Pop on the KCAI campus, and that starts that's Thursday, May 5th at 6 o'clock. And for more information, that's our website, kcai.org.
.edu.
Yeah. So it sounds like a terrific event of music and art. And I think one of the special things about this is that you can actually talk to the artist. You can see the studio space and kind of really get a intimate sort of perspective,
exactly.
On campus.
Not only seeing their work, but meeting the person who created it.
Yeah.
And also talking with the faculty. We have some wonderful faculty that are artists around in the community, and they're amazing mentors to these students.
And we've heard stories from attendees who have been to other end of semester shows and events like this, who have said that they loved buying the artwork from the student when that student was a senior, because they know now, 5 and 8 years later, they couldn't afford the work of that now professional artist. And so it's a great way for our patrons to support these artists in their in the beginning of their career.
So there is a trolley that will take you to the different studios to see the student work. Again, the artists, designers, faculty, select artwork will be for sale with exhibitions on view in every department. It sounds like a great time.
Yes.
Very good.
It should be a lot of fun.
Very good. So any final thoughts or words about Art Pop?
We are so excited about the event, and we look forward to showcasing our 620 students and the fine work that they do. And this event supports student scholarships, of which 98% of our students are recipients.
Yeah.
And so we're honored to be able to showcase them. And we invite anyone who's interested to visit our website, kcai.edu, for more information and to purchase tickets.
Beautiful. And this is the very first Art Pop.
So it's the very first Art Pop. We've held similar events in the past, but we rebranded it this year to make it, again, more accessible and a little more lighthearted. So this is the inaugural Art Pop.
Very good.
Yes.
Well, congratulations, and we will mark that on the calendar.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in and talking
with
me. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and happy to have you on, have us in your ears this afternoon. As Special Events Director Lauren Weinhold and Dana Sawyer, Communications Director, as they left, they said, we forgot to mention there's going to be special guests on campus, and that would be people dressed up as Andy Warhol and several other celebrities. So I just thought I would mention that. But next up, I have to tell you, we have Deb Pettit, founder of The Rabbit Hole, which is a visionary nonprofit center for the children's book. It's the world's first explorastorium, and she's here in the studio live. So you can crawl and walk and climb through an evolving array of immersive storybook worlds and ever-changing galleries dedicated to the very best of children's literature. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is pretty exciting. People can meet in visiting authors and illustrators. They can learn about their work, view the original book art, and that. What a great idea.
Yeah, it is. My husband and I have been working on this along with a really amazing team of people for a little over a year now. And I'd say we're not in a quiet development phase anymore, but getting quite a bit louder. Uh-huh. And the Immersive Storybook Gallery that you're referring to is a prototype of a piece of what will eventually be inside of our building. The gallery that we're in right now is about 3,500 square foot space, and we're looking for a building that's about 60,000 square feet. But we did do a prototype that is down at 17th and Oak. We took a single book called The Incredible Painting of Felix Clouseau, and we made it so that you can literally walk into the book. It is floor to ceiling, all crafted from paper mache and some wood. And, I mean, it's a pretty spectacular opportunity to really get inside of a book, see what that means.
Once I was down there, the afternoon that you opened, I didn't want to leave because it was so much fun. You just go into the different rooms of the book and, see the illustrations. And then, I got to meet the author who was there, John Agee.
John Agee, yeah. Uh-huh. So on our opening weekend, we really tried to give people an example of what it would be like if we were up and running all the time. So you're able to meet the author, you were able to see the original artwork, you're able to meet makers of the Immersive Storybook Gallery.
So you're also, as I read through this, you'll be able to view original book art that's both classic and contemporary, catch a show in the theater, visit the printing press and bindery,
right.
Stop by the library, check out the archive, pen your own stories. I mean, there's so much going on.
We have a million ideas, and we plan to follow through with all of them.
Yeah. And also, I see here that you've got listed special projects with resident authors and illustrators. So there's a lot more to come of this.
There's a lot. We're really taking, we're trying to get as many people involved in the rabbit hole project as we can. And this particular Immersive Storybook Gallery that's open right now to the public, we had over 150 volunteers helping us in building it. And these are people that did everything from tearing brown paper to building walls to helping paper mache. And having them be a part of the project and be able to come back and show their friends and family has been really exciting.
Now, do you operate on getting volunteers to help with this
project?
We do.
We're a nonprofit. This was our first big opportunity to have a lot of volunteers participate. It was exciting. It was a learning curve, and we can't wait to do another one.
Well, I know this, the incredible painting of Felix Clouseau, this immersive experience runs through May 22nd, and that's at 400 East 17th Street in Kansas City, Missouri.
It's just two doors east of Oak. If you go to rabbitholekc.org, you can find out information about open to the public hours. We've got a lot of field trips scheduled. So if you have a school or scout group that you want to schedule a special tour for, we have some tours from retirement homes coming.
Oh, fun.
Which is really great.
Yeah.
The whole space is wheelchair accessible. And it's been really exciting. Everybody from 2-year-olds to 80-year-olds. It's a space that I think just is magical, and it's just exciting.
Well, I was gauging the expressions and sort of the what was coming out of people's mouths, as they were going through that, and it's like we've never seen anything like this before in Kansas City, and we're so grateful and so honored, to have this in Kansas City.
We are trying to create something that has never been created.
Yeah,
and it is really exciting.
So it's open to the public Fridays 4 to 8 and Saturdays 10 to 4 and then Sundays 12 to 4. Do you need to kind of book a reservation ahead of time or just
We
stop
do ask
in?
People to go online, again, to rabbitholekc.org and book a time slot. But we also take walk-ins. It's more just to spread it out. We do a lot of docent-led tours, which are really fun. There's also opportunity for people to go through multiple times. And that's really the best kind of visit, is if you give yourself enough time to do a docent-led, and then just to explore the space. And our goal is to reward the curious. So lots of things for you to just discover on your own.
So this has taken a lot of work, I'm sure, just...
We worked fast and furious. It took us 5 weeks to build, and it was rather insane, but it was really exciting and exhilarating, and I'm really, really proud of the work that everybody did.
So if you want to schedule a school field trip or a group tour, you may contact the studio at rabbitholekc.org. What are some of the other stories, unless you can't give it away, what are some of the other stories you're thinking about in the future?
There are so many. The next one that I think we want to do, because when we built the Immersive Storybook Gallery, this is one example of how one interpretation of a single book. The next book that we hope to bring to the community is a book called The Last Stop on Market Street, and that was illustrated by Christian Robinson. And that is a story that takes place on a city bus. And so our hope is to actually take a city bus and create the story on that. So people riding the bus on a regular route, maybe special routes. But again, just kind of really rethinking that idea of what an immersive environment is.
Because it's from floor to ceiling, and it's surround you. It's just everywhere, every single inch of the place is
every single bit of it. That's what we think of, immersive, completely immersive. And we're not interpreting somebody's book. We're really honoring it and presenting it to readers and non-readers. The most exciting thing is to hear people go through it where they say, I've got to read that book. Yeah. I want that book.
Is that the ultimate goal?
It is the ultimate goal. It's as exciting for somebody who's read the book to go through it and point out things that they recognize, or for somebody who hasn't gone through it, they can certainly create their own narrative and story in their own minds.
And then, I just dropped everything. I do want to mention that I am talking to Deb Pettit, founder of The Rabbit Hole, which is a visionary nonprofit center for the children's book. The world's first
Explorastorium.
So where did that word come from? Because I love that.
Well, we wanted it to just be really playful and fun. This is a place that we want people to explore stories. We want them to explore their own stories. We want to be able to honor those books that are so beautiful and well-written in the canon of children's literature.
And down the road, there will be a bookstore for a shared memory to
Absolutely.
Take home? Good.
Yep.
Good. Yeah, because I can mention that you were operated the Reading Reptile in Kansas City for more than 25 years.
Yeah.
So people have that connection with you already. And it achieved a national reputation as one of the most respected children's bookstores in the country. So you have that out there, and you have an audience.
Yeah, my husband and I had the Reading Reptile. We recently closed it. We had it for over 25 years. And over that time, we just were able to work with a lot of really wonderful people, both in Kansas City and outside of Kansas City. And we decided about a year ago that we were just going to take the leap.
And beautiful.
The Rabbit Hole is something we've been thinking about for a long time, and we have an amazing team of people that are working on it with us.
Terrific. And I just have to ask about the name of it, The Rabbit Hole. Where did that come
from? We actually had, it probably took about 6 months to come up with that. And it's so funny because it just seems so obvious, too. The rabbit hole, we think of as a place to, you want to just go fall into it and forget about everything else and just completely surround yourself in beauty and story and magic and come out the other end changed and thinking differently about books and stories and where you fit in that.
You know, and it's funny, when I visited there, I guess it was opening day or the day after, I drove home thinking, gosh, how much fun that was. And what are some other books that I would, you know, want to see done? So you really, you know, left me with something in my head to take home
That's
and
great,
think about.
I think that, especially for kids that go through it, I mean, we want kids to think that, and we want them to go home and make a shadow box of a book that they read. Or we want them to make an environment for themselves. Environments don't have to be huge. They can be very small.
All it takes is a cardboard box.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, very good. Thank you so much, Deb. And thank you so much for sharing your imaginative world, Explorastorium,
with us. Yeah, thank you so
Kansas
much.
City. Mm-hmm. I want to thank my guest today, Norma Cantu, Patrick Alexander, Cody Call, Deb Pettit, Dana Sawyer, and Lauren Wine. There's her name, Weinhold. Thank you all for coming in this afternoon talking with me. Next week, April 27th, I'll have Martha Gershon, Tomas Kobian, Rick Malsik, Colby Smith with the Studios Inc., poet Iris Applequist, and Jason Prue. They'll finish out National Poetry Month with us next Wednesday. Stay tuned for 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger. Then at 3 o'clock, we've got Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. At 6 o'clock, we have All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, American Roots. And then 9 o'clock, The Classical Challenge. Thank you so much for making KKFI a priority. And thank you for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio. Do find us on Facebook and really, really like us, because I like you. And I just want to say, honey, I'm coming home.